Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Mike Armstrong podcast show. And this evening, or afternoon stateside, we're joined by Blanca, who is an international talk show host and an amazing networker, connector, and entrepreneur. And she's joining us all the way out of Florida in the US of A. And we've met networking a number of times and going to do some great things together. So I thought I'd bring her on the show today and showcase Blanca and what she does to all of my communities. So how are you doing today, Blanca?
I am fired up and honored to be here with you, Mike. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for coming. I know, like me, you're a busy person and you're always networking and connecting and producing and creating and all those great things. So thank you for giving me the time to get you on my show. I know we've been meaning to have a chat on the show for a while and end up chatting about all sorts of other things. So it'd be great for me to be the host and chat with you and get to find out a little bit more about you so that all my listeners and viewers can also find out more about the amazing Blanca. So you're a massive, massive connector of people. So before I talk about the international host, I want to talk to you a little bit about networking. How did you get going in networking? And what is it that you really, really love about networking?
Well, networking really developed as a need to grow my business. I was previously an attorney for 26 years, and I had to build several law firms, both of which I was a partner in. And then I actually built a third law firm as a consultant. And I believe no matter what you do, whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a marketer, you must have a marketing strategy. And I believe that networking is a fundamental element. And what I love most about it is people. I love to connect with people. It's my greatest joy in the world. And I think all we really have in life is one another. And I'm very grateful for the circle of friends that I have built through the networking process.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. Yeah, and yeah, that's why we get on, because I love people too. You know, I'm people-centered. And to me, people are the most important asset on the planet. You know, the money that everyone else seems to chase is just a conduit between giving value or displaying value between people. And I think a lot of people seem to forget that. And they're chasing the cash, if you like, and the zeros. Whereas I just think just give value to people, because that is what cash is. It's just a monetary mechanism, if you like. It's a paper mechanism. It used to be gold and silver before, and before that it used to be chickens and goats, you know. It was just an exchange of value. It doesn't matter how you display or give value to someone, as long as you're giving value. And you know, that's what I think. But I met you at your Laws of Life network. And I love it that you're always coming up with laws of life and you're always asking people about their laws of life, especially different sectors, et cetera. Tell me a little bit about how that come about, the name, and some of your favorite laws of life.
Amazing question. Well, the way that it came about was I knew that I always wanted to have a show. I always wanted to have a webcast. And I loved interviewing people. So I think it was about November 2016, I decided that I would start my show and I would give it a name. And I literally brainstormed on the name for maybe a week to 2 to 3 weeks. And then I basically realized, you know, my dad, he has always been a philosopher of life, and the way he raised me, he used to look at a situation and say, he did not use the phrase the laws of life. I penned that, but he always said, what can we learn from this situation? And he's such a loving father. He's 88, still with us today. And he always taught me how to look at a situation and extract the wisdom from it. So that's sort of where the laws of life came from, in combination with my prior career as an attorney and how I have this love for learning people's philosophies. And I wanted it to be broad so that I could learn many different types of laws of life and connect with many different types of people. And so the laws of life was born.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. And I have a couple of laws of life, which I which I sort of think about and a part of my philosophy of life, and that is, live every day like as if you're last, because it could be, you know, and live a life of no regrets, and, you know, have, probably loads, I have loads of quotes and things that resonate with me, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats, another one. I have lots of laws of life. What are some of your favorite ones, just off the cuff?
Oh, sure. Well, I have a couple that I've developed over the years. One of them is the fictitious island rule, which is you have to live your life as if you're on a fictitious island. And if you offend anyone on that island, you'll be thrown into a sea of sharks. And so what the law basically is you have to be very careful how you approach people, talk to people, and treat people. You have to be very kind, very respectful, and very astute as to how you're being perceived, because people can be very easily offended. And therefore, you want to proceed with caution. So that's the fictitious island rule. The other massive rule that governs my life on a daily basis is the 24-hour rule, which is when I'm angry or upset, I recommend that we do not respond for 24 hours. Because in that period, when you're upset, or maybe you're tired, or maybe you're hungry, whatever the reason is that somebody upset you, you need 24 hours to really assess the root cause of why you are emotionally upset. And if you don't dig deep to find what the root cause is, you can permanently burn the bridge of that relationship. So if you really care about that relationship and that relationship upset you, keep your mouth shut for 24 hours. And if the person tries to connect with you in that 24 hours, you simply send a text message. Right now, I'm not feeling up to speaking, but I promise I'll call you back in 24 hours. That's it. No angry texts, no angry emails, no angry voicemails, nothing for 24 hours until you fully register and absorb the scenario to determine what really upset you. And then when you're calm, you communicate with the other person as to what they did and why it bothered you in a calm way.
Brilliant, brilliant. Some great laws there, which remind me of three more laws of mine. Yeah, which is treat everybody fair and equal. Yeah. And then what goes around comes around. So I believe in karma. So how you put out into the world is what you get back. Yeah. And then the other one, which I used to do in work with emails, if you got into an argument with somebody and you wrote an angry email, write it and then don't send it, get up, go away, come back, reread it, re-edit it, rechange it, yeah? Give yourself time and steam, yeah? Because, take the emotion out of it and put the fact into it, yeah? And actually, a lot of the time, I wouldn't actually end up editing the email. I'd end up deleting it and going, is it worth it? Yeah, and that's another one that's always worthwhile. Is it actually worth it? You know, with relationships, for example, so many people fall out with so many other people for so many reasons. And a lot of the time, they're for like no reason at all. Yeah, so that's always, is it worth it? Is whatever's happening, is this situation worth, falling out with somebody or whatever? And I always, learn to turn the other cheek, just chill out, let it go, whatever. I'm a very relaxed, chilled out person. And that's some more great laws of life that you inspired into me. Like I said to you, you can't think of these off the cuff sometimes, but they're just principles you live your life by. I got lots of them, which is why, you could talk about something else and it would remind me of other principles. I think it's very good to live a principled life, especially if you like people. It's a great law of life to have, is to have lots of principles and just to be a good person at the end of the day. Life's too short to be full of, hassle and all that. And the world's full of jerks anyway. Why add another one to it?
I agree. And today at Mark Siegel's networking group, we came up with some very interesting laws for the pitch. So we came up with the law of success story, that when you introduce yourself, you should include a success story. And we came up with the law of dollar range, where you don't go into the specific price of what you charge, but you discuss the range. And the law of no dollar signs, don't say the word dollars, just say the range is 300 to 700 for my services, for example. But then when you talk about the discount, you do speak, and that was not, that was a law of one of Mark's guests today. Credit to be given in the comments once you post this. So everybody contributed and gave a different law. And I just think it's a wonderful collaborative conversation. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I miss Mark Siegel's event. I seem to keep missing it, but I will catch up with him at some point. I'm on a very different timeline at the moment. And obviously, as you know, I'm doing the 24/7 room on Clubhouse, which is... It plays a bit of haywire with your timing sometimes, because if I got things I got to do, I wake up subconsciously before I got to get up. Yeah, I always wake up a bit earlier to get up and do stuff, which is why I woke up early this morning. And lots of things I had to do. And if I wake up early, I think, well, nobody's expecting me to be on Clubhouse because I'm usually asleep at this time. So it gives me a few hours to get some stuff done. When I got things I got to do, I got a funny internal mechanism like that. It just makes me wake up, like, you know, and then get stuff done. But anyway, so yeah, that's interesting. It's great that you discovered networking, because there's so many people, especially in professional services as well, where they don't think they have to go networking so much or not so often, you know, because sometimes in those industries, you know, they get a lot of clients through referral and all that sort of thing. And they're thinking, oh, they're busy, or they're thinking, you know, maybe my next client isn't here. But what a lot of people do when they go networking is they forget about the fact that everybody knows 200 other people at least. And so even if the next client isn't in the room, you know, the next client could be a connection of whoever is in the room. And that's what so many people forget about networking. What's your sort of thoughts and advice on that?
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful law. I would call that the law of an indirect benefit. And I teach this a lot in my Laws of Life networking group, which is you must not go into the group with this filter of, I have nothing in common with that person, I don't want to talk to them. I think that people are cutting themselves off of hundreds of opportunities and thousands of dollars by presuming that someone has nothing in common with them. And that's absolutely ridiculous. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Whoever you meet, you need to connect with them if they've crossed your path. The problem that people have is, though, and I think I've actually developed a solution. The problem that people have is they don't know how to make the connection. So let me give you an example. I'm real estate. I'm not a realtor. My friend Sunny is a realtor. So what I did was, is I gave Sunny the real estate room at the Laws of Life Networking. So if I meet a realtor, I will then say, hey, I would love to introduce you to Sunny. And better yet, I'd like you to come to her real estate room at the Laws of Life Networking group. So I've incorporated levels of niches in the group for crypto, real estate, love and life coaching issues, business with Blanca and learning. And there's another one, the Lifehouse Project for survivors of domestic violence, for anybody that wants to volunteer or collaborate with the Lifehouse Project. And so I've added those five layers of connection. Additionally, I have a different guest of the day. I have a different motivational speaker of the day to add more layers of connection. And it's on Tuesday, April 13th, we're doing a singer and actor showcase and competition. And so it's not going to be your typical business networking group. The singers and the actors are going to perform for the entrepreneurs. And we're just going to make it more of an artistic competition. Then from 1 to 5, we'll still do the teaching, where you'll also be you're teaching your SEO secret strategies. So what I'm trying to say here is that do not deprive yourself of connections. Introduce the people that you don't have a connection with the people that do, and have a giving heart. And I promise you, good karma will happen.
Yeah, and that's something else which these people who don't see the direct connection in the room, so they don't go to the room or won't come back. What they also don't forget is that networking can give you knowledge that you haven't already got. And actually, you're more likely to get new knowledge and fresh knowledge of people who are less like the people that you normally connect with and collaborate with. So it can give you knowledge. It also gives you connections beyond the connections, like I said. It also can give you things like podcast opportunities and stuff like that. So, marketing and advertising opportunities that may not come your way other times. It also can give you sometimes some amazing suppliers that you may not have met if you didn't go networking. There's so much that you can gain from networking that so many other people, I think, just forget about or don't realize. They don't understand the value from the networking. What sort of things do you think, over the years, just list a couple of things you've got value-wise out of networking other than just picking up a new client or a lead referral partner?
Well, So many. Where do I begin? I've built a lot of collaborations. For example, I produced a show last year called The Laws of Love with relationship coach Rochelle. And she also became my life coach. And I coached with her for a year. Had I not met her through networking, my business is better. My personal life is better. Everything's better now because of that experience. I met Beth May Rav, the founder of the Satkin Complex. Because of networking, she helped me lose 40 pounds. So now I can look the part of the international talk show host, right? Because an international talk show host needs to look good, right? So she helped me lose 40 pounds. Johnny Regan, the founder of the Global Vision Conference, he taught me what a vision is and introduced me to his movies and popcorn movement. I'm going to his conference on May 23rd in Sanibel Island, Florida. I highly recommend you check out Movies and Popcorn. I've built an advisory board of 14 entrepreneurs that have supported my company that have become a circle of friendship where we elevate one another. Mark Siegel's on that board, Sunny Arfa. You can visit lawsoflife.shop to read who the advisory board members are and what they do. Stephanie Klein, each and every one of them have become family. Mike, my life has become so deeply enriched, including you, including our friendship, our international friendship, where you came this week and you taught for an hour and a half, almost 2 hours, teaching marketing strategy. You did a full training on the Clubhouse and learning from you and meeting all these amazing people. If I could share one law, that is the secret to happiness. The secret to joy is to surround yourself with people that you can create with and build creative collaborations with. It's life-changing.
Yeah, definitely. And I was going to say there was something I missed off in the list of other things which you can do networking as well, which is make amazing friendships. Most of my best friends I've met networking, And you just mentioned then you built yourself a board and a support structure and now a friendship and a family, it's gone to that level where it's like a family. And that's what so many other people don't realize as well, is that, networking, you don't have to do any business with people, but you can make great connections and you can share great experiences in life, which is another law of my life, which is, to have the best experiences, not to worry so much about the best shiny objects, because the best shiny objects don't give you the best memories and they don't give you the best experiences. They just decay and then get chucked away, So I'm all about having experiences with people. So that's another sort of law of my life.
I love that one. The best shiny objects.
Yeah.
So sum that up? The best shiny objects.
Well, it's better to have better experience than more shiny objects, because you can't take any shiny objects with you, because the best shiny objects don't give you any great experiences. But experiences do, and actually the memories you have in your brain are the stuff that flash before your eyes on your deathbed. You know what I mean? And do you want those memories to be things or time spent with people? You know, and I know definitely what I want mine to be. You know, what's flashing through my brain is time spent with people, which is why I get really annoyed when you see youngsters these days taking pictures everywhere and trying to make it look like they're having a good time, rather than actually just having a good time and having the pictures in your brain, because they're the most important ones. You know?
I love it.
Yeah, so that's that done. So tell us a bit about then the talk show host and all of that. I know you do a lot with digital media and content creation and all of that. Tell us a little bit how you developed from being, if you like, an avid, passionate networker and building your own network into developing it into being an agency, a creator, and now you know, with an international talk show host as your title. What did that journey look like?
Well, I knew from the start that I've always wanted to be a talk show host. I knew that my number one talent is to interview people and to be a public speaker on the stage and to educate my audience, ignite and entertain my audiences. And I've always done an interactive talk show on Zoom since October of 2019. I've been doing interactive Zooms with the networking and the talk show. And so I do my networking from 11 to 12:15, then I do an interview from 12:15 to 12:45, and then we do Q&A with the speaker until 1. That's our standard format. Now, so I knew if I want to be a talk show, you got to have a talk show, right? So that's why I created that event. So the desire to be a talk show host made me say, if you're going to be it, then live it. And so I have to build a show. Now, I had to learn the technical skills of live streaming, Zoom engineering, Roku channel engineering, podcast distribution, graphic design, video production, video editing. There's an incredible amount of technical skills that go into creating a show. Well, I wanted to learn those skills. So I spent 2020 self-educating. I spent about 5 to 7 hours a day teaching myself how to do the tech. And it was a big growth year for me. I produced over 20 shows myself without any support team. I marketed it. I was on the Fired Up radio show, 97.9 in South Florida, a very prominent radio station, True Oldies Radio. And that desire to be a talk show host was the ignition for me to teach myself the technical skills and the digital skills. As I learned the digital skills, I realized there has to be a business companion to the talk show host vision. So I decided to create a formal digital marketing agency, and the same services that I provide myself as a talk show host, I would provide to my clients. And that's how the business side was born of the Laws of Life.
Yeah, brilliant. And it sounds like you had a very similar journey to me at a very similar timeline, because I decided in 2017, I wanted to become a global speaker. And in 2018, I won a networking prize, Network of the Year 2018, and I was the top networker in the top network in Wales. And I decided to leverage that to go networking around the UK. So I was on a mission to do that. And then the pandemic come in, and I decided actually now's the time to become a global speaker and a global networker, because everything was shifting online. And I could see, you know, it was going to be a great online world forming in front of us, really, you know. So that's why I started networking all around the world then, rather than just around the UK. So I was already on a mission to, I thought I had to go networking around the UK, become a speaker in London, then leverage that to go speaking elsewhere and just keep building yourself up. But I ended up then just on Zoom events, constantly networking and speaking on those internationally. And then Clubhouse come along and I decided to do that. But I used to be in a corporate world and used to do a lot of stuff to do with the supplier law and business commercial contracts and all of that. So I have a bit of a background in law, and I've always considered sales presenting the case for the product or the company that you work for, and building a case against the other people that you build, not in a negative way, but just why you're better than them, you know, so you build that case. So I've always presented myself like a lawyer, really, as a solutions provider. And if ever I was to go into something professional service-wise, I would have gone back to study law. I did actually think about it in my 30s. But then in the last 8 years, I've been running my own digital marketing agency. Yeah. And obviously you've built your own digital marketing agency now. And in 2020, I went through a massive learning phase as well, teaching myself how to podcast and YouTube channel and all that sort of thing. I also did the hashtag 75 hard to get myself into shape. And part of that was reading 10 pages of an educational book every day. And then also... What? And also, it was 2 45-minute exercises per day, which I was doing with the ear pods in. I listened to over 18 audiobooks during the summer of last year. And I also went on a load of webinars and seminars and stuff. So sounds to me we have very, very similar past couple of years. We're both on exactly the same mission. Yours to be an international talk show host and mine to be an international speaker. Very similar sort of paths, if you like. And you mentioned about you like to, I think it was educate, inspire, and entertain. And I like to provide motivation, inspiration, and education. So, you know what I mean? Like Siamese twins, you know, opposite sides of the pond, opposite sexes, but doing exactly the same thing. So,
yeah. You know. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, so I know we're going to do some great stuff together, but this uncanny sometimes how similar, you know, you can be to some people. I met another person, Russell Pearson, his name is, on Clubhouse, who's in Australia, and we've had a very similar like life for not just a few years, but like the whole life, very similar patterns, very similar, like just everything. And so you meet people sometimes who are literally like, you know, certain versions of yourself just operating somewhere else, and without the lockdown and without everything going online and all of that, you wouldn't necessarily meet those people. And that's why, you know, the pandemic's been probably one of my most productive and successful periods. Yeah. And you know, I've met some amazing people all around the world that you just wouldn't normally meet. And how has it been for you?
I would say it's been a fairly similar experience as you, networking, building the network. It has been a profitable business, the laws of life. There's a lot of people that need webcasts, need podcasts. They need someone, they need a team that has the technical skill. And as they evolve, they're going to need more teams to do it, because you can be 100% digitally adept, but you still need teams to support you. You need a graphic designer to design. You need a videographer to record and edit your videos. You need your transcribers. You need your social media schedulers. It literally takes a village for the process, not to mention ensuring that you're always properly messaging with your clientele and your friends through appropriate email messaging strategies, social media messaging, now Clubhouse messaging. There's a lot of branches to this tree of marketing, and you need all the branches to build your platform, and you need a team to be under you. And I'm a big believer in the team approach to the development of the platform. So we do provide those services of helping brands launch and scale. So it's been an exciting time. I have to say, I could live it, breathe it, and eat it 24/7. I absolutely love this field. It's so exciting and so interesting to me.
Yeah, that's the same as me. I love it. I do eat it, breathe it 24/7. It messes about with my clock sometimes because I end up doing all sorts of things. Like I was at networking 12 till 1 in the morning. I do podcast episodes at midnight sometimes because I do so much. I connect. I don't know what it is, but I seem to resonate even more with Americans than I do with Brits. And I've always considered myself more American in my mindset than British because Americans are born believing in the American dream. They all dream big and they all compete and they want to be number one and they're not bashful about it. Whereas the Brits, quite they like to support the plucky loser, if you like, sometimes, or the one who tries hard. I'm not into that. I'm into winning and winning at all costs. You know what I mean? Because I like winning. I think success is a big aspect of life. And I'm a big thinker. And I think because America thinks big, because it is big. It's the biggest country in the world. It's a superpower, etc. And Wales is a tiny country. But I think like an American, I think like as if, you know, I'm from a massive country. You know, I still think, you know, in terms of the British, Commonwealth and, you know, when we used to run the world sort of thing. That's how I still think. I'm left in that sort of thought sort of process. And that's why, you know, for me, you know, as soon as the pandemic came and the conditions were right, I pressed the button on going global because I'm a global thinker. I don't want to be operating UK wide or Europe wide. I want to be taking over the world. That's always been my ambition, like, you know. So I think that's why people in America seem to resonate with me much more, because, you know, people in the UK would think, oh, you're too ambitious, or you think too big, or, you know, you've got to be a bit more modest or a bit more humble. I'm very modest and I'm very humble, but it doesn't mean I think some people, they get confused between being humble and being ambitious or being successful. Some people, they don't quite know where the lines are. And, you know, everyone loves it when we win, you know, in the UK, when we win as the British and Irish Lions or the British Olympics or something, and we do well on a global basis. And I'm like, well, from a speaker point of view, if you have a look at all the speakers in the world, all the top ones, none of them are Brits. They're all Americans. And I'm going to change that. You know what I mean? I'm going to put myself, you know, I commit to it. I tell people I'm going to be the big British speaker coming out of this island, you know? So there's lots of people competing for that space, but I'm going to beat them. You know, because I'm going to beat them through activity and through action and all that. And what you said about team, you know, another one of my laws of life, teamwork's make the dream work, you know, teamwork makes the dream work. And
I'm writing that one down. You are amazing.
Yeah, hashtag teamwork, teamwork makes the dream work. And I grew up playing sports with people, and that's why I'm competitive, you know. I grew up being the fastest boy in school. I played rugby, and we won the league and cup double for 3 years in school. So I got used to winning and a winner's mentality, and that's why I think like, you know, like other winners, you know, and not just somebody who's taking part and trying their best. I don't want to try my best. I want to be the best. You know what I mean? I'm not shy or bashful about that. I'm competitive. I'm competitive with myself and I'm competitive with others, but not in a horrible, nasty way with others, because I think some people can get too competitive. In a friendly, like, I want to just test myself against the best and see if I can beat them somehow, you know, because I'm a strategist, you know what I mean? And what you said, you know, I've been... I'm very digitally astute and I do a bit of everything I can, but I'm operating like about 100% max at the moment. And you still, to go global and to go big, you need a team. You know, there's another law of life they say, which is a good one, which is it takes a village to raise a child. And every business is a child that needs raising. And the more you can support together with a village, the more that, you know, you can have a village to help raise that child. And if you want to go truly global, like all the global entrepreneurs, they'll all tell you their success is down to the team they built around them.
That's right. And the team needs to be properly trained and properly educated. And I've been watching a lot of videos on how to develop the right team as we continue to hire for the Laws of Life company. And one of the biggest things, the biggest laws of life I've heard on this topic is you must empower the team member with specific processes and procedures so that they can then watch the course on what you want them to do, take a quiz, then do on-the-job training, then take another quiz and let them succeed. There is a lot of steps to properly training the team member. Yeah. And many people do not have the patience or the process know-how to write that process. And so our, you know, that's a value of working with a company that can give you the team. because you don't need to train the team. You keep doing what you do and let us worry about training the team.
Yeah, definitely. And also, so another law I have is if you go for marginal gains on everything that you do, I do it from an efficiency point of view. Try and do everything that you do a little bit quicker and a little bit better than you currently do. And if you go for slight marginal gains on everything, then the law of life is you'll end up with a massive marginal gain on the output. Yeah. If you break down everything that you do and you look for like a 1% gain or a 5% gain on every single thing that you do, you will have a massive marginal gain output at the end. And I studied a lot of great sports people. I've seen this in action. You know, I did it myself when I grew a sales team from 7 people doing 300,000 to 17 people doing 5.7 million over an 8-year period. The two things I worked on was education, training, you know, just upskilling everybody and getting them to think more creative, think bigger, more solution orientated, bringing in more products and business development so that as you start to develop and educate, you're getting that extra value out of each staff member, etc. But also making sure everybody's doing everything as efficiently as possible, because the most important asset on the planet after people is time. And time is one thing, no matter how rich you are, you can't buy any more of. So what you can do is you can make more time. Yeah, you can make more time by doing everything you do currently in less time. It gives you more time. And that's the way you make more time. And that's how you become more successful in life, is by creating more time. So like I do, like my podcasting, and I do stuff efficiently, you know, podcasting, Zoom follow-up, networking, YouTube channeling, and social media content. And I can do a lot of stuff in an hour, which other agencies and people and whatever would take 4 hours to do. So I'm saving 3 hours every time I do an episode, which is why I'm able to do like 1,000 episodes in my first year, when most people only do like, you know, 100 or 200 or whatever, yeah? Because they're not being efficient in the way that they approach it. It's like when I do Zoom networking, I do a lot of Zoom networking, but I'm often doing breakfast events and having breakfast at the same time and doing my weights and stuff and doing social media. So I'm doing 3 or 4 things in that time, when other people sometimes just sat there losing their 2 hours of time. Yeah. And like when I go on Clubhouse, the reason I love Clubhouse is because I thought a Zoom in, podcasting, YouTubing, and social media content in all at once via a Zoom call like we're doing now, creating content and being in 4 places at once was efficient. And then I went onto Clubhouse and I'm teaching, I'm learning, I'm speaking, I'm listening, I'm networking, I'm collaborating, I'm socializing, yeah? I'm having fun, yeah? I'm doing all these things at the same time, yeah? So to me, it's like, how could I spend my time anywhere else, when if I'm going to be spending my time off Clubhouse learning, then I could be doing 6 other things at the same time as learning. If I'm teaching, I could be doing 6 other things as well as teaching. If I'm networking, I could be doing 6 other things. So all these things, I'm doing 7 things at the same time. So that's how I live my life, is by how can I get as much done in the same time so I free up more time. And some people want to free up that extra time to then go and spend time, you know, chilling out or relaxing or whatever. I just want to free up that time so I got more time to do other stuff to help me with my growth and my global ambition. So either way, you know, people say that you can't free up the time, but, or how do you get work-life balance? But you can. So that's sort of my thought process on efficiency and growth and percentage change. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I love the marginal gain approach. And I think I've learned a lot of laws on intention from the advisory board, Sonny and Johnny and Rochelle. You know, you have to set an intention to acquire the specific gain. You have to be very focused. So I would call it the law of focus, the law of intention, the law of vision, and set specific goals. That and then set specific sub goals that help you accomplish the main goal and really get specific. Another law is to be a very good listener. I think I've always been a solid listener, but now I've become a better listener. I really make an effort to, you know, Clubhouse has really taught me this too. Let someone finish getting their thought out. Where are we in a rush? What's the rush? Where's the fire alarm? If you don't have time for the conversation, then don't start it. You know what I'm saying? Let people get out their thoughts. Now, in certain situations, I do assign time limits, sort of in a speed networking or in a singing competition. There have to be time limits so that all the contestants are treated fairly and they all get the equal time. But as far as being a good listener generally, really making a commitment not to interrupt and to wait and take in what's being said to you. And to also the law of repetitive criticisms. If multiple people are giving you the same piece of feedback, it's probably accurate. So you need to pick up on it and solve it. So my certain people in my life were saying, you don't listen to me. You're looking at your phone too much. You're not focusing on what I'm saying. I want your attention. And it hurts me that you don't give me your full attention. So I had to make a law of my personal life. At a certain time, at 7:30, 8 o'clock at the latest, the cell phone goes off. It just has to, because otherwise, I cannot achieve the law of balance with my personal life. Yeah. And the truth is, I love what I do. I can do it 24/7. But if you want to have a personal life, you have to have boundaries as well.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. That's one of the things I'm quite glad at the moment I'm single. I split up with my girlfriend middle of last year. And before that, we were only dating anyway, weekends and stuff, because she lived far away from me, and the time thing ended up being a problem in the end, you know, not being able to just go and see someone quickly. But what helps me at the moment with going global and being rapid, if you like, is that I can do what I do all the time. And at some point, so I'm actually balancing my life in a way where I make sure I look after myself, going for walks and all that sort of thing. But I also just, when you're 100 miles on the runway, sometimes you just got to focus on what you're 100 miles an hour on, and let the rest of balance take care of itself when you get to the destination, you know, or when you're well on your way to the next destination. And what you said about goals, you know, I've always lived by a motto of having small, medium and long-term goals. The long-term goals are the big ones that take you a long time to get to. The medium ones are the stepping stones, the things you need to accomplish to achieve that big goal. And the daily routine is the things you have to do every day just to get to those middle goals, get those things done, which will help you to the big goal. That's how I break it down, and I find it easier. And then if you're just doing a daily routine every day, it becomes simple to actually achieve big goals, because you're not focusing on those goals. You're not focused on the middle goals. You're just focusing on getting what you need to get done on a daily basis. So again, lots of what you shared there is, I vouch for it, and I know it works. And being able to be a good listener as a talker myself, like yourself as well, lots of us networkers like to talk. But one of the most important things I learned as a salesperson is that unless you're listening and unless you're finding out people's wants and desires and needs and problems and stuff, you can't give them the solutions they need. So you have to listen. And a good sales meeting is about asking the right open-ended questions, shutting your mouth and listening. And the people will tell you what you need to do to win their business and to provide them with the solutions, the answers, you know, the things that the desires that they want. They'll tell you all of it, you know, if you just listen. And I suppose that is why I'm, a bit of a talk show host as well, and can open people up, because people ask me like, oh, how am I going to fill 45 minutes? I say, I got three questions that can open you up and it'll cover 45 minutes, because they're questions about you and your business and your history and your future. And people love talking about that. And even people who don't like to talk, you ask them the right questions and they'll just keep talking.
That's right. That's 100% on point.
Yeah. And then if you're listening and you listen to the actual conversation because you care about people, you don't just care about trying to respond to somebody. If you listen to people and you actually, you want to get to know them, which is what I do, then if you're actually listening intently to what they say, the questions that you've got to ask people will come to you, because you'll listen to it, you'll think, oh, that's something I want to ask more about. That's something I want to ask more about. But that's something I want to ask more about. And when they finish speaking, you probe a little bit further on the areas you wanted to know more about. The commonality areas are often the areas you probe and want to ask more about. Or if you're in sales, it's the desire areas or the problematic areas that you probe and ask questions on. So someone will give you a trigger to tell you, oh, this is a problem in my life, or this is a problem in my business, or whatever. And if you've listened intently, you just ask them a little, so tell me a little bit more about this problem that you said that you had or whatever. And it's just finding the cracks that you can slip into and open up a little bit and explore, you know, that area in more detail. And the more you can get into detail with people in the areas of their desires or their needs or their, you know, their issues, their problems, the stuff that they need help with, the more you can get into those areas, the more you can solve their problems or give them what they desire, and the more they'll value you then, because you've listened to them, you've understood them, and you've given them a solution to their problem or their life.
Exactly. Yeah. I think my favorite law of life that you gave me today is the one about you can't buy time back. I just love that law. And so if you can achieve your goal in a faster period of time with money, then the value exists. And this is what people have to remember, that there are professionals that can help you with different problems. Utilize their expertise to get to the solution faster, because the faster you do, you then basically fix that puzzle piece in the tapestry of your life. And the puzzle picture will come together faster for you, achieving the greatest levels of success, the more puzzle pieces you can solve in the different categories.
Yeah, I look at it as like the game of life. I used to play a lot of games when I was a kid, and I always wanted to complete the game, which is get up the levels, beat the big bosses, and eventually you crack the game. And once I cracked the game, I never wanted to play it again. And the game of life is like that, you know. We all want to get to where we want to get to. We all want to get up level. Not all of us. Some people are happy being at one level. You know, that's great. They can enjoy themselves and be happy with they've reached the level they ever wanted to be. But ambitious people, which most people are, they want to continue to grow and they want to upskill and up level and get to wherever they want to get to. But if you can get there efficiently and quickly and learn off smarter people who've already been there and utilize your team of people who've got skills that'll help you get there and all that sort of thing, then you can basically beat the big bosses and get up the levels and get to a position in life where you feel like you've won at the game of life, or you've achieved something, or you've beaten the game, or whatever. You know, you'll never ever feel fully there, but you can feel like, listen, I've worked this game well. I know what I'm doing, and I'm at some high levels. Like, you know what I mean? You're always going to want more if you're that type of person and you're progressive. But that to me is what the game of life is. Is the game of life is about, you know, utilizing your team, utilizing your skills, upskilling yourself, growing yourself, and just keep moving towards the big goals and dreams that you want. Because like most people don't chase those big goals and dreams because they scare them. And I say, be scared by them and just go for it anyway. And just learn how to turn into the person you need to be to achieve those big dreams. Like, you know, that's what I'm all about. What's your sort of big picture philosophy on life?
I think you've honestly, so well, one of the ones is we all need help to solve the puzzles. And my number one law of life, which is on my banner, is the most important law of life, I think, is that life is an open book test. All the answers are out there for us. No one's hiding the answer. So for example, if you want to learn digital marketing, you can learn it yourself on YouTube or any type of course. If you can't figure it out, hire a team. That's, you have the answers. You can't do your taxes alone, hire a bookkeeper. You can't cure your illnesses, you hire a doctor. Life is an open book test. There's no problem that we cannot solve together, God willing. Unfortunately, there are some problems that we can't solve, and my heart goes out to those. But the great majority of puzzles can be solved. And so let's help each other and solve them together and succeed together.
Yeah, and I know one of those problems and puzzles that can't be solved is the time one. Sometimes you have to be somewhere else. And I know when we first started speaking that you've got to be somewhere else as well pretty soon. So I know this is first of many chats that we're going to have on the podcast, on YouTube and beyond. So for now, tell everyone a little bit about how they connect with you, how they listen to your content, how they come to your events, and then we'll keep the chat for another time when we can deep dive into some more laws of life and some more areas to do with the talk show and the content creation that you do, which I know could be multiple episodes. So just tell everyone a little bit about your links.
Sure. My website is lawsoflife.shop. And if you visit that website, you can learn about the networking. The Zoom link for the networking every Tuesday at 11 is on the networking tab. The digital magazine is there on the magazine tab. You can subscribe to that magazine. You can contact me via email. All my social media links are on that website. So if you just visit lawsoflife.shop, you can definitely get a lot of the info you need. And if not, just shoot me an email and I'll be happy to help, or book a Calendly with me, which is also on my website. Happy to give a complimentary 30-minute strategy session. Happy to help anyone in any way that I can.
Brilliant, brilliant. That's awesome. And yeah, you have yourself a great rest of your evening. You're a few hours behind me. It's half past 10 now. Must be about 7:30, is it, with you?
Yeah, just about.
Just about, yeah. So you have a great rest of the evening. Get that phone switched off and spend some time with your partner. And and then I look forward to seeing you next time we meet now, probably on Clubhouse or at your event next Tuesday. But either way, have a great day. And it's been awesome getting to know a bit more about you. And I'm looking forward to the next time.
Mike, thank you so much. Such an honor to be here with you. And I appreciate you and all you do to teach our community.
Brilliant. Thank you. And all the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.